Our next presenting company is Cure Pharmaceuticals from Oxnard, California. Cure Pharmaceuticals is focused on drug delivery and development. Presenting today for Cure Pharmaceuticals is the COO, Jessica Rousseau. Following today's discussion, a breakout will follow in the Grand Ballroom in the public breakout room number 3.
Thank you, Kate, and good morning, everyone. My name is Jessica Rousseau. I'm the CEO of Cure Pharmaceuticals. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. Thank you all for joining us. Just as by way of introduction, a little background on myself. I joined Cure early last year. Prior to joining Cure, I founded and ran the Center for Innovation at Children's Hospital Los Angeles, and that's where I learned about this company and its technology. My background is in biochemical engineering. I studied in France. I worked at GlaxoSmithKline for a number of years and then moved on to spend some time in academia at the Scripps Research Institute. So that's a little background about myself, a little bit about the company. The company was founded in 2011. We went public late 2016. We trade on the OTC exchange under the ticker symbol CURR. At Cure, we believe that it's time to change the way we all take medications, and that we can make a long-lasting, positive impact on people, patients, and caregivers, without having to bring new drugs to market. And so how are current dosage forms failing patients? For starters, it's estimated, and this is a surprising figure, that 40% of the population has some problem swallowing pills, and as a consequence, don't take their medications appropriately. And this is true, of course, with the elderly population, with children. But surprisingly, it's really not an age thing, and it's more of an association, an anxiety that gets associated with taking pills if you choke or gag. So this is a long-lasting problem for people throughout their lives often. So an alternative is to deliver medications as a liquid, and when they're dissolved in a liquid suspension solution, you can taste the taste of the active, and most actives don't taste good. They taste bitter. Anyone in the room that has children, I have kids, maybe this image evokes some bad memories. So, lastly, drugs can be delivered, of course, through injections. That's probably the least desirable way to give and take drugs, especially if they're auto-injected on a regular basis. So by and large, we all prefer to take our medicines orally, with a pill. However, lots of different drug categories taken orally cause some kind of GI irritation, whether it's diarrhea, constipation, pain, enough of a, you know, deterrent for taking those medications. Another drawback is that when you take a medicine orally, it has to be broken down into smaller parts. It has to be dissolved in your bodily fluid so that you can get the cellular uptake. So that can take a while until you find, you know, the patient feels the effect of that drug, and then when it crosses the intestinal lining and goes into the liver, the drug gets broken down and metabolized, and that affects the efficacy. So you're really always playing kind of a balancing act between giving enough of a dose to get a therapeutic benefit and mitigating some of those side effects and staying within that therapeutic window. And many drugs never make it to market because they fail to achieve that balance. An interesting statistic is when you look at the drugs that are on the market, they fall into this category of having high permeability and low solubility. So they are permeable in the tissues, and they can be absorbed by cells and basically do their job. But they're poorly soluble in bodily fluid, so they don't get broken down sufficiently to be able to do their job. And that number actually jumps up to 70% when you look at the pipeline of drugs that are the pharma pipeline. So there are a lot of great drugs out there, but they need to be delivered better. And the net result of all of this is that patients basically aren't taking their drugs the way they should, at a great cost for society, for patients, and for the pharmaceutical industry that is estimated to lose an average of north of $630 billion a year from people not taking their drugs. So we at Cure believe that there are a lot of great drugs out there. They just need to be delivered better, and that's the solution that we bring to the table. We have a drug delivery and formulation platform that we can leverage and use to formulate small molecules very broadly. We're working on peptides, and our ultimate goal is to improve or target a pharmacokinetic profile to make drugs easier to administer, safer, more effective, and more precisely dosed. So we work with different kinds of companies. We work with companies that are in clinical development that are looking to make their drugs more bioavailable, make them more effective, and reduce toxicities. But we also work with companies that have marketed commercial products that are looking, maybe perhaps their products are going off patents, and they're looking to bring some more innovation and maintain their market share, so more product lifecycle opportunities. So we play in both of those buckets. We are a vertically integrated company, meaning we have R&D all the way to commercial manufacturing. We can engage as early as laboratory, small-scale feasibility, and we can put product out the door in primary and secondary packaging. As Kate mentioned, we're located in Oxnard, California. We have a cGMP manufacturing facility, 25,000 square foot facility. I think it's important to note that this facility is very versatile, so we can accommodate volume, and we can also accommodate innovative custom products, because that's really the core of our business, is innovative products. And at the core of our company is our technology. We call it CureFilm. It is a platform, a formulation platform, that allows us to design very specific drug release profiles based on our goals in terms of the target product profile. And we have a toolbox. We have different components that we can play with to achieve those goals. Here are just some examples: encapsulants, plasticizers, permeation enhancers, flavorings, et cetera. These formulations we can then put together into a finished dosage form that can be either an oral film, as you can see in the image right here, and that oral film can be delivered in the oral cavity in the cheek, under the tongue, or on the tongue to be swallowed. These are all different modes of administration with different benefits. We can also take our formulations and place them directly on the skin or place them with a patch. So this is an example of a product, which is our high-dose vitamin D3 product, 50,000 IUs to be given once weekly. I'll talk about that a little later. And this is what an oral cure film looks like under a microscope. In the dark bubbles is the active, and they are encapsulated in a liposome, in phospholipids, and they are uniformly distributed across the film. So how does CureFilm benefit patients in ways that other dosage forms fail to? Really, our focus is to improve safety and efficacy. So in terms of efficacy, the goal may be to release a drug faster into the bloodstream, in which case we can essentially pre-solubilize that drug, whether it's hydrophobic or hydrophilic, in the film so that the body doesn't have to work as hard and the drug can be released and do its job. In some cases, we may be looking for more delayed and sustained release, in which case we will encapsulate the active with a different strategy so that it maybe, survives the stomach and then gets released in the gut. That may be one objective. And in some cases, we may want to have a combination approach. So in the same film, we can have drug that's solubilized and drug that's encapsulated so that we have the benefit of both. Okay, so when we're improving bioavailability, this means we can start looking at potentially reducing the dose so we can reduce some of those toxicities associated with those higher doses or the dose frequency, potentially. In some cases, we may be looking at changing the mode of administration from PO, for instance, to buccal or sublingual. When you deliver buccally or sublingually, you're directly delivering the active to the bloodstream through the mucosal membrane, in which case you're bypassing the GI, you're bypassing the liver, and all the toxicities and degradation that happens there. So the low-hanging fruit is helping those 40% of patients that I told you about that have difficulty swallowing pills. With the oral or transdermal technologies, we don't need to swallow, no need for water, et cetera. When delivering directly to the bloodstream, buccally or sublingually, we have the potential to replace injectable drugs, which, of course, would be a huge benefit to patients. And the last point is we are able to combine multiple actives on a single film, so we can reformulate fixed-dose combination products, for example, and combine drugs in innovative ways. So the era of precision medicine is now, right? However, when we look at precision dosing, so how we dose drugs, how we prescribe drugs, is very much a one-size-fits-all world. That's what the label indicates. Now, there's a lot of innovation happening in this space, startups and academics that are developing software tools that take, your individual metabolism and physiological parameters to tell you, well, for you, you need actually this dose of a drug X. But to deliver and to dispense that exact dose A pill is very difficult to do with a pill. It's very difficult to do with a liquid. If it's an infusion, you may be able to do that. But with thin film, you can do that actually very precisely. As I mentioned, the active ingredient is uniformly distributed on a surface. You can print on a film. You can cut a film at very specific lengths. So you can really individualize very precise doses. So we're very excited about the potential of cure film in this space. And there are a lot of drugs that need to be carefully titrated, immunosuppressants, diabetes drugs. I mean, the potential is huge. More practically, active ingredients, small molecules in particular that are formulated in a cure film are typically quite stable at room temperature so that they can be easily stored and transported. So just very quickly, the benefits over other dosage forms. We are improving adherence by making drugs easier to take, more palatable, no need for water. In some cases, we may be looking to improve safety and efficacy, and we can do that. We also can enable precision dosing and provide some efficiencies when it comes to logistics and cost savings, potentially. So there are other groups that do film. One of our main competitive differentiators is that we're able to load a higher dose of active ingredient. It's generally accepted in the field that there's a maximum load of 30% of active per film, and that really precludes our ability to potentially to work with lower, less potent drugs that need to be dosed at a higher level. So we've been able to really break through these limitations at Cure with our Cure Film technology. We've been able to load 200 milligrams at commercial scale, and in the lab, we've loaded over 500 milligrams of active with a novel approach, which is a three-layer film that we're in the process of scaling up. People can put more active on a thin film, but what's difficult to do is to do that while maintaining all of its properties of fast dissolution, a good taste, because ultimately it has to be palatable, and structural integrity. That's the challenge that we've been able to address. So we can also load multiple actives. At commercial scale, we've loaded 5 different actives for a combined total of 180 milligrams. And, of course, taste. At the end of the day, we're about the patient experience. We want to tackle the problem of medication non-adherence. So being able to give the patient a palatable product is extremely important, and now that we're loading up higher doses, it's even more important. So we've been working very hard at tackling bitter tastes, metallic tastes, salty flavors, et cetera, quite successfully. And this competitive advantage, we aggressively pursue protection around through a blended strategy of patents. We have 5 issued patents, 8 pending applications, lots of know-how, lots of art involved in the process of manufacturing thin film, and then we design proprietary equipment. So I want to share with you some data sets, some proof of concept studies that we've done that bring to life the impact and potential for cure film. So in this study, we were looking at aspirin, 81 milligrams of aspirin delivered orally. We compared a commercial tablet to a cure film formulated aspirin product. And we did a rabbit pharmacokinetic study, so looking at levels of aspirin in the animal's blood over time. And the goal here for us was to see if we could improve the pharmacokinetics of aspirin, because in an emergency setting, heart attack, stroke, ischemic event, you want to be able to administer aspirin fast and get that into the blood at the highest levels possible. So that was the goal. And as you can see from this graph, blue is the cure film formulated aspirin, and green is the tablet. At 15 minutes, there is no detectable aspirin with the tablet, but we're almost at Tmax with the cure film. Not only that, but the levels in the blood were sustained over time significantly, at significantly higher levels than the tablet. So we were extremely excited about this data and the potential for cure film to improve pharmacokinetic profiles of drugs that are poorly bioavailable. Now, it may be that the strategy on the product lifecycle side is to have a quick path to market and replace a tablet with a cure film, for example, in which case you want to show that it's bioequivalent. So in this study, we took an antimalarial drug that's actually a combination of two compounds, artelutrin, and we compared it to a commercial tablet, and very much a similar study. These were rabbits, and we looked at the blood levels of these two compounds. And as you can see, we were able to, by dialing in the formulation, match the pharmacokinetic profile of both compounds in the blood, as well as here, the metabolite. So we talked a lot about, so these were all PO deliveries, oral delivery. So we wanted to explore how our cure film would perform to deliver compounds transdermally. So this is a very preliminary study that we did, taking a non-optimized cure film formulation and looking to see if we could drive through several different types of compounds through the toughest barrier that we have in the body, which is the skin. So we took 9 different compounds, different spatial configurations, physicochemical properties, et cetera, so we had a good sampling representation. And in the study was taking human tummy tuck tissue, fresh human tummy tuck tissue, and looking to see what would absorb and permeate through the different layers of dermis. To our surprise, every single active went through the barrier. And again, this was non-optimized. So we are now committed to optimizing our formulations for transdermal delivery. And indirectly, this tells us that our formulations are going to be very effective to cross other membranes, like the mucosal membrane, which is much more vascularized and permeable. This last data set I want to share with you is a little bit different. So this is, we collaborated with a group at the University of Southern California. These researchers were looking to test a new use of ivermectin to see if it could treat alcoholism. So the experimental design here was to take mice, feed them alcohol, ethanol, and then give them ivermectin and see if they reduced their desire to consume the alcohol. The way they do this is by sticking a tube down the throat of the animal and giving the drug that way. It's called oral gavage. It's, as you might intuit, quite stressful for the animals. And as a consequence, the animals, the mice that received placebo with this procedure were, as a baseline, not drinking the alcohol as it would if it wasn't intubated, right? So the negative control here was impacted in their study. So what we did is we created punch hole size versions of cure dots with placebo or ivermectin to see if we could mitigate this problem for them. So animals who got placebo cure dots, as you can see here, consumed as much alcohol as those that were not getting any intervention at all. So we were able to help them have a more robust negative control and get accurate data. So we were very encouraged by this, one, because we want to support good preclinical research, two, because it's a far more humane way of doing this kind of work, and we want to support that. So we launched a formal program called the Cure Dots Program. So we make our technology available to academics as well as industry partners that are doing preclinical research like this. And by extension, certainly it's more humane for laboratory animals, but is anyone in the room here who might have pets or had to medicate pets, knows this could be highly favorable as well for the pet parent and for the parent and for the pet in terms of giving medications to dogs, cats, and other animals of company. So as I shared with you, this platform can be applied to lots of different drugs, lots of different indications. So the question is, how do we kind of approach what we work on and how do we put together a balanced portfolio? We live really mostly in this arena of 505B2 regulatory path. This is an accelerated path to market because we're working with compounds that, for which we know a lot already. These are compounds that are either already on the market or already maybe in the clinic, so we have safety and efficacy data that we can already leverage. And we're only modifying certain parameters. We may just be modifying the dosage form, going from PO, staying with PO, but going from a pill to a cure film. But we may start adding some differentiators. Maybe we're changing the route from PO to buccal. Now we're improving bioavailability so we can reduce the dose, or maybe we're looking at a new indication. As you go down and add these different, you know, make these changes, obviously the regulatory path gets a little bit longer and more expensive. However, it's nothing compared to an NDA or a BLA. It's a much faster path to market, much less risky, and you benefit from some of the upsides in terms of market exclusivity. For the products that fall into this space, we want to partner early with pharma companies and biotech companies. We We partner early. In terms of the deal structure, we're looking at development fees, milestone payments as we get, you know, through animal studies, human studies, and then, of course, we look to be the exclusive manufacturer and get some royalties, sales-based royalties in certain cases. So that's sort of how we structure our partnerships with pharma and biotech companies that are looking to reformulate their drugs. That said, we are making a very focused and strategic investment in play in terms of capturing new IP on composition of matter, in a very specific arena, which is cannabinoids. So for cannabinoids, we are looking to, again, have our own clinical development programs down the line. Why cannabinoids? One, they're known to be poorly bioavailable, and we think Curaleaf can address that. Also, in endocannabinoid research, it's understood generally that the effect on the endocannabinoid system doesn't come from one element in the plant, like THC or CBD, but rather a cocktail or combination of multiple factors or components of the plant. As you might recall, we're able to load up multiple actives on a cure film, so we believe we can sort of mimic or recapitulate this entourage effect, which is how that term is coined in cannabis science. Cannabinoids are being studied for lots of different indications, so lots of potential from that perspective. And we have a multi-pronged approach. Because of regulatory, you know, limitations here in the U.S., we are investing our resources overseas in Israel. Of course, they are the leaders in this field, and specifically the Technion Institute, which is a leading organization that's doing research in cannabis science. Dr. Dedi Meiri's lab is one of the leading labs within that institution. And here the focus is on cancer. So just to address quickly, the advantages in Israel is that you can move very quickly from in vitro to preclinical to clinical research. And then we also partner with pharmaceutical cannabinoid companies like Therapix. We announced this deal late last year. We're starting to partner with them. They have a combination of two cannabinoids, one cannabinoid and one cannabinoid mimic, to treat obstructive sleep apnea. And so we're formulating that product for them to start a phase II study in 2018. So to wrap up, this is our current pipeline. We started life really focusing on dietary supplements because of the lower regulatory barriers. So we have one nutraceutical on the market, launched last year. It's a melatonin. It's actually three actives, melatonin being the best known of the three. And this is, you know, a billion-dollar market overall. We do have a distribution partner, but we're looking for others. We are working on a high-dose vitamin D3 product. It's partnered in the Middle East and North Africa, but available in other territories. And here are some of the other assets that we have. I'll just make mention of our TB program. It's isoniazid is the drug, and this is actually being pursued through our subsidiary called Oak Therapeutics. Our subsidiary is focused on pediatric indications and prenatal. But they're grant-funded mostly, non-dilutive, and they're driving a lot of the innovation that the rest of the company can benefit from. So with that, this is the management team. Rob Davidson is here with me. He's the CEO. Ed Milisky is also a co-founder of the company, an accomplished research scientist that's worked with most of the large pharma companies. And we're here to meet with pharmaceutical companies that have either products in the pipeline that they want better bioavailability for, or launch products that may be hitting a patent cliff that they would like to bring some innovation into play. We are also closing, from a financing perspective, we're closing a round of financing now by the end of this month that is going to bridge us to an uplisting to Nasdaq, which we're planning for Q2 2018. So we are interested in meeting with investment groups that want to come on the ride with us. So thank you so much for your attention, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. We look forward to meeting with everyone in room three. Yeah. Perfect. Thank you for your attention.